are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So in today's digital age, apps and online tools offer new ways to deepen our spiritual practices. From daily devotions to interactive Bible studies, these resources promise convenience and variety. But how do they compare to traditional methods in fostering genuine spiritual growth? Let's delve deeper into technology, in how technology can complement our faith journey and in its impact on our daily devotions. You can dial us as well, engage with us on +27 734 703 520. That number again is +27 734 703 520, and we're joined on the line by our pastor evangelist Kudai Chikumbi Rike, who's going to be helping us with this one. My pastor, good morning, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, perfect, I'm good.
We thank the Lord.
I did my girl magic and I'm like, Bona, I can fix this. Thank you so much for coming through.
Oh, thank you so much. We praise God for all his goodness and mercies.
Indeed. Point is, before we start our conversation about all things making use of our online tools, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Yes, that's sure. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift of life and such a wonderful opportunity to learn and discuss things that pertain to our salvation. May you guide us, may you bless us, may you be with each and every of our listeners. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen and amen. You know, whenever we're having apps, in fact, with the phones now, everything is available at our fingertips. Sometimes you don't even know how to use this app. Sometimes we underutilize, you know, the apps that we have.
Yes.
But looking at the apps, which apps or online tools can people use, you know, for spiritual growth and use personally? How have those apps helped you?
Oh, thank you so much. I think technology has always been available for children of God to use it for their own spiritual edification and also for the sharing of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Technology is what God relies upon to communicate his special truths even to mankind. Mm. And remember that technology did not start today. In the days of Moses, God asked Moses to bring up two tables of stone. And God wrote on those two tables of stone. Why was God writing on the tables of stone in Moses' days? Because that was the technology of the day. Yeah. The watchmen in the Old Testament were well known to blow the trumpet. And blowing the trumpet was a special signal to make people be ready for the battle. And that trumpet in those days was actually the technology of their day. Mm. Now, if God were to ask us today to provide something for him to communicate his truth like Moses, we would not go with tables of stones.
Yes.
We would not go with trumpets to blow them. We would use what we have right readily right in our hands. I'm talking about WhatsApp, social media platforms like WhatsApp. I'm talking about social media platforms like Facebook. Do you know that with WhatsApp, if you put up a status within seconds for 24 hours, you can have an audience of over 120. Even if you don't have a registered church, the viewers of your status can be your church.
Yes.
So WhatsApp is a very, very great method of, and it's a multimedia technological platform. Mm-hmm. You can share your messages via text. You can share your messages via video. You can even send a picture, and at very, very minimum cost, because all you need is an active internet.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the Facebook. People have got many Facebook friends.
Yes.
Those are people within your reach to share the word and also hear them share the word with you. You also talk about Instagram. You also talk about Telegram now. These are platforms that can help. So personally, I've been spiritually uplifted even by statuses on the WhatsApp statuses of my contacts. When they share about God, when they talk about God, it has really brought about a very, very great spiritual transformation in my life. And this can go to many, many people in the shortest possible time with the minimum cost. So that's what technology is opening us doors to, and it can help us to even share devotions. You know that I'm a member of many devotional groups where I sometimes share devotions, audio or even video, and also receive others as they share their devotions with me in the same groups. So these are technology platforms that we can embrace and use them for the glory of the master and also for our own spiritual nourishment.
So Mpundisi, looking at, you know, this digital devotions, for example, how do they compare to traditional ones in terms of engagement and effectiveness? Maybe in terms of traditional, that's where you would go and sit in front of a pastor, you know, no, the pastor stands in front of you and then he shares the devotion. But now, as you were saying that you're part of, you know, multiple groups, we also have one, for example, let's say WR, where daily we share a devotion, you know. So how effective are those compared to sitting and then someone preaching in front of you?
Thank you. So by nature, technology is embraced when it makes life easier. Back in the days, we had internet where people were just going to the internet to read what others have written.
Yes.
The world of the internet was split into content providers and content consumers. But with the evolution of the internet, now the content consumers are also content providers. In other words, I'm saying if somebody sends their audio or message on a WhatsApp group, they get immediate and instant.
Ooh, we're losing our pastor there.
Some can even lead to more fulfilling discussions. You know, back in the days, you just preach, and all the member can say is to say amen. That's the only thing, or nod their head. But if you said, put up something on a blog, if you put something on the social media space, even on WhatsApp, people have got an option to reply to it, and that can culminate into a discussion. Where things are not clear, somebody may actually ask right on the same platform, and answers can be given. This was not quite possible back in the days, because sometimes some have got stage fright. You are afraid that if I ask my question, I'm not very eloquent in speaking. Now, with the introduction of artificial intelligence, actually, messages can be. I remember I put up a sermon in English and on one platform, and it was immediate. Translated into the native language of the audience.
Okay.
So that makes interactions more fulfilling. And people can react, ask questions, and have discussions based on the topic that is on the table. I also want to talk about coverage, geographic coverage.
Okay.
Right now, using this technology of AWR, we are reaching out to people who are not just in our geographical area of locality. It's reaching out to people who we may not have had access to physically if this technology was not there, to bring them to our tents. Here, right now, I'm in Kenya, you're in South Africa, but we are broadcasting this message and it's reaching to all the world. You know, this would not have been, where would you have pitched the tent right now? Suppose we are going to traditional evangelistic meetings. And even if we're going to pitch the tent, was it going to contain the thousands of followers that love AWR? It's been popular even in my home country, Zimbabwe. People look forward to AWR. How are we going to contain them? So technology, in comparison to traditional evangelistic methods of physical worship, technology brings a lot of ease because we can reach out to people, we can get immediate feedback, instant feedback, we can connect with them personally. Even on WhatsApp, someone can have an option to go to your inbox when you go to reply and then say, reply privately and say, this issue, I want more on this. These are options that would not be quite easy if we're all in a big tent and supposed to be in one place. These are some of the and you can even illustrate using video. You can go beyond just voice and talk about video, whereas in a church setting, video now needs PowerPoint, now needs a projector, now needs even a PA system if the crowd is big. But when you are engaging with people using this technology, all these other things are catered for. So we really thank God for technology in that regard.
So looking at, because everything in Mpundisi has its own pros and cons, right? What are some of the potential drawbacks of relying on technology for spiritual practices? You know, I think sometimes not sure. Well, WhatsApp can be a little bit better. But for example, when we delve into the realm of your Facebooks, you know, your Instagram, your YouTubes, where we do get this this very good, inspiring message. Jiggy jiggy, there's an ad. It's something else. Or you get even distracted, you know, even if it's not those materials that, hey, every time we see them, we quickly, quickly close everything. Sometimes you just see an ad of Manchester playing there, or you see an ad of a cooking. Yes. Now I want to know how to cook that cabbage 5 ways, you know. Now I'm gone from the devotion or the message, you know, that I was looking. So what are some of those drawbacks, you know, that we should be wary of when we're engaging in digital usage of these tools?
Quite a hilarious example. From devotion to cabbages. And then the mind gets blown away.
Yeah.
You are actually very right. I agree with you. With the emergency of big data analytics, technology can master your social media activity.
Yes.
That's why you see that if you're on YouTube, after some time, YouTube can even come to you and say, videos you may be interested in.
Yes.
You know, there are algorithms that can analyze what your interests are. Mm-hmm. And based on your social media activity, they can suggest to you things that you may want.
Mm-hmm.
Even on Facebook, you see a pop-up that says, you may be interested to connect with this person. And ta-da, it's your friend that you last saw in primary.
Mm.
So what it means is that as we use the social media for good things, the algorithms will learn and associate us with the good things. Mm-hmm. It means the adverts, targeted adverts that are now coming to us are adverts that are spiritually related.
Yeah.
That are spiritually related. For example, if you watch a lot of sermons, you know, these algorithms will isolate you and say, this person loves sermons.
Mm.
You know? And then when you have more of sermons being advertised to you, even on Spotify, it's a very good example. Spotify will select music for you on the basis of its analysis of what you've been listening to over some time. But if you also are in the habit of watching pornography, even if you repent, technology will say, we know you are now doing some changes, but deep inside we know that you love pornography. And those pop-ups will keep on coming, you know. And when that pornography keeps popping up, it becomes difficult to resist the temptation that we have just converted from.
Mm.
And then we see people going back to their olden ways.
Sure.
So we need to be wary of the Bible says in the book of Psalms chapter 1 verse 1, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Back in the days it would be literal seats.
Mm.
But these days we are talking about dwelling on sites that are bad for us.
Yes.
You know, shunning that which is bad completely.
Yep.
Because once we do it once, we are more apt to do it again.
Mm.
And then it will be difficult to repent from it. So people should be wary of evil things on the cyberspace, on the social media space, especially things that are bad. At the same time, we also need to regulate the amount of time that we spend on the social media so that it doesn't make us less progressive in other aspects of life.
Mm.
We still need to work on other progressive things as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that is very, very important to be temperate in all things.
Yes.
However, we may also join groups that are progressive.
Okay.
If someone is passionate about cooking, and there's a WhatsApp group that's dealing with cooking issues, join a group that talks about cooking. But if there's a group that is not quite good in terms of morals, where images are posted that are immoral, conversations are those conversations that leave you less spiritual than you were before you joined those groups, then those are the things that we ought to shun completely.
Yes.
And you don't pay to exit a group. There are also groups even on Facebook, especially here in Africa, they are quite common and popular, where those groups are just set up to discuss gossips, to discuss the latest trends of what is befalling other believers.
Mm.
And they get a lot of following because people love to talk about others. But those are the things that the devil will use to make us move away from that which we have believed. So we need to be wary and be careful to walk like the wise and not like the foolish, even as we navigate the cyberspace.
Mm-hmm. So, Mpundisi, as we wrap up, right, you mentioned that, you know, we must regulate how we use, you know, this internet. What are some practical ways that you can share with us on how do we actually regulate, you know, how we use it without, you know, it being a distraction? Because these days, when we're speaking about addictions, Mpundisi, we no longer speak about pornography and alcohol only. Now we also speak about our phones, being addicted to our phones. Yes, a person can be addicted to listening to you, maybe, for example, you know, or watching your videos, preaching and everything else. That can also be an addiction. But now, how do we now regulate our use of the digital tools that we have for enhancing our spirituality, but also not being distracted? As you were saying now, you know, we must do other things besides staying in our phones, you know. How then do we regulate that practically? So saying that, hey, but now it's time for me to cook that cabbage. Let me put the phone down and concentrate instead of sometimes you're even cooking while busy on the phone and then you start burning things, you know. So how do we go about that?
That's actually a very profound question. I think just like in all aspects of life, prayer remains the key.
Yep.
Prayer remains the key. Christians should learn to fall in love with prayer and never have something that they say this is too small for prayer. Because the little is actually much when we get the internet.
Yeah.
May God hold our hands. Let us purpose to put our hands in ours so that He guides us as we navigate the social media space, to give us the power to have self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we may go to our routers. Yes, we may go to our switches and filter sites that are bad for us, pornographic sites, filter sites that are bad for us. But even in those that are good, we ought to exercise self-control and temperance.
Yeah.
So that will not be led astray, number one. Number two, let us have organized plans. When you wake up in the morning, let us have a real plan to say, what do I plan to achieve?
Mm.
Some people call it a to-do list. People are failing to achieve their set goals and objectives. Not because there are any demons involved, but because they've just been carried away in that which they love the most. You know, we need to have a to-do list and then tick so that we set specific times to do specific things. And then we also need to understand that technology is almost taking over. Now, as we go on, we'll be talking about artificial intelligence, which is even much, much more addictive and difficult to control ourselves as compared to what we have now. And we need God to guide us. We need God to give us the wisdom.
Yeah.
So that He, like what David says, to say, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against God." Like David says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet." As we take each step in the social media space, in the cyberspace, in the digital world, as we take each step, let the word of God be our guide. Let God says we can do all things through Him who gives us strength. We'll be able to know that this is time. On average, research says an average person spends 2 hours, 27 minutes a day. Just on social media. Are you really talking to someone on that WhatsApp?
Hey.
Someone is just going through statuses, going through statuses, navigating through statuses. Are you doing anything productive? Yes, of course, the internet can be used for research. That's fine. Yes, the internet can be used to communicate and to strike business deals. But when you sit there and just look at people's statuses the whole day, you are really killing time and doing nothing progressive.
Yeah.
And this is exactly where the devil comes in and takes over.
Yeah.
So prayer is the key, and relying on God so that we hold on to that which is good and do away with that which is non-progressive, even in our navigation of the social media space.
Fundis, thank you so much. Thank you for coming through. Till we chat again tomorrow. Before you go, I'm going to ask that, can you please close with a word of prayer?
Indeed, sure. That's fine. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our compassionate, loving Father, we had a wonderful discussion here. We pray that you may bless each and every participant in this program. Give us the strength to navigate wisely the cyberspace, to navigate wisely. Jesus, when you are in them, there will be the way for bad. We pray that that you may forgive all of us where we might have used the social media and technology and cyberspace for the wrong things. Where the devil might have taken advantage, please forgive us. Deliver us from addictions, deliver us from things that are counter-progressive, and give us the strength to use what is before us for the glory of your name. Thank you, dear Father, for hearing our prayer, for we pray all this in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Wendy, thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much, and thanks a lot. Have a good day.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.